HarperCollins presents Spare Brides by Adele Parks, read by Tor Leighton. Winter. Chapter 1. Lady Chatfield, wife of Lord Chatfield, daughter-in-law to the Earl of Clarendale, daughter of Sir Harold Hemingford, Lydia to her friends, allowed her silk robe to drop to her feet. She enjoyed the feel of the fabric, shimmying down her body like breath. Now naked, she stood in her dressing room and wondered, as she often did at 6:30 in the evening, what her maid Dickinson had picked out for her to wear this evening. She tried to guess, through a process of elimination, as her dress was probably in the maid's care now. A stain might be being dabbed into oblivion. Lace might be being steamed so it would stand proud like a fence, or a hem might be being subjected to a last-minute stitch or two, so that the correct amount of calf was on show. Dickinson was thorough. Her most often used phrase was, just to be sure. She treated Lydia's garments like newborns, pampered, worshipped. Lydia inhaled the dust and silence of the old house, resting after the bustle of tea, reprieved as there was to be no formal dinner here this evening, and scanned the padded silk hangers. She spotted her tangerine organdy and silk frock, the one with crystal beading shaped like teardrops, plus the teal moire taffeta silk that she had liked to wear with a jaunty sash belt. In addition, she carefully counted numerous gowns in chiffon, saffron, scarlet, cobalt and emerald, all decorated with tulle or organza and delicate pearl beading. None of these colourful dresses would do. She examined the white and cream gowns. What was missing? It was all a little frustrating, really. If she'd had the energy, she might have been quite cross about the entire debacle. But she rarely allowed herself to become properly vexed nowadays. She considered doing so such poor taste. Taking everything into account, she had little to moan about. Yet, she had expected a new gown from Callet Soar's fashion house. She'd ordered an oyster silk treasure with lashings of diamante beads spilling from the neckline down her breasts and shoulder blades. With painful clarity, she'd been able to visualise the effect she would have made on entrance to the Duchess of Pembrokeshire's New Year's Eve ball. The dress had a darling plush fox fur trim around the hem and cuffs, and she'd planned to wear it with her purple velvet shoes, the ones with the elegant heel and glass beading. Purple with oyster and fur was the sort of combination that was bound to make the papers. The dress ought to have arrived before Christmas. It hadn't. It was difficult to complain. No one actually expected really decadent service anymore, not since the war. And the French, well, the French especially were horribly unreliable, a law unto themselves. That was why the English, beaten down by rules and cues, found them so fascinating and irresistible. Lydia sighed. Her breath and mood clouded the cold air. Where was the housemaid? She ought to have poked the fire in the bedroom. A girl could freeze to death in her dressing room if the servants were slow. Lydia bit down on her irritation. It was misdirected and unfair. Still, it was hard that she didn't have anything new for tonight. She was sure that every other woman in the British Empire would have a clear idea what to wear as she watched 1920 melt away, as she sighed a relieved welcome at 1921. 1 year further on, one step further away, making the whole ghastly business more past, less present. She wished Dickinson would get a move on. The goosebumps that were erupting all over her body looked ugly. She robustly rubbed her hands up and down her arms. Ought she to pop on her own drawers and brassiere? She didn't mind doing so. Dressing herself was actually what she preferred, but Dickinson invariably made such a fuss if Lydia did take the initiative, grumbling, "Is Lady Chatfield trying to get me out of a job?" Silly, really, since they both knew that Dickinson's duties extended far beyond those traditionally associated with a lady's maid, and that in truth she was stretched often frazzled. As Lydia wondered whether she ought to reach for her silk dressing robe again, Dickinson burst into the room. "You'll catch your death standing around that way," she cried. Then, almost as an afterthought, "Sorry I'm late, my lady." "It's fine." Lydia's eyes did not rest on Dickinson even for an instant. She didn't need them to. She knew what her maid looked like. She was petite.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?